In the 1960s, those boys began to learn about what it meant to be in the oil business. And then the market died off, and Bob's Oil Field Service began to prepare for the next boom. In 1978, that boom hit, and they were ready. 1979 saw enormous expansion. 1980, it was more business than they could possibly handle. And in 1981, the bottom fell out of the market. And all of a sudden, overnight, the entire Bakken crashed. We saw the effects of it in and through Wyoming and North Dakota, Northwest South Dakota, up into Montana and into Canada. The entire market dropped out. And Bob's Oil Field Service remained. They had to figure out what it meant to persevere. That's what we're talking about. How do you persevere? Because perseverance always comes in the face of challenge. It is never easy. And so what Bob's Oil Field Service had to do was two things. Number one, they began focusing just on the business model, and they had to lay off employees. They had to become very lean and very efficient. When you call Bob's, what you would do, you need help on your rig. And so you would call and say, my pump is out. And Bob would say, I can get that part. He would order the part. He would find the part. He would deliver the part. He would install the part. And they became very good at what they were doing. See, when the oil booms go bust, it's not that they stop pumping. It's that they quit drilling new. And so all of those wells that were still up and functioning were still pumping and still delivering oil into the market. And Bob's learned what it meant to persevere in the face of deep, deep challenge. And they survived when many other companies did not. And then, in the early 2000s, they began to see a pickup in the market. And it was somewhere around, 2008, 2009, that we began to see a huge spike in oil prices. And what this meant is that there was a new boom that was about to explode, and they were ready. There was another thing that had helped them get ready. Every single Sunday, Verla was in worship. Every Sunday that he was available, Bob was in worship. Every Sunday that they were available, the boys were in worship, and their wives and their kids. What they had done was to know that perseverance is only strengthened when you do it with God. There was always that presence of God inside of their business plan. There was always that presence of God strengthening them day by day, day by day. That's what it takes. Perseverance is never easy. And they made it. Now let me tell you a story that comes out of our faith tradition. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement. Not just the Methodist church, the Methodist movement. This movement that for the last almost 300 years has been a part of our national and our global environment. At the age of 22, he was ordained as a priest in the Church of England. But in that early faith, his concept of how do you interact with God was very, very powerfully called works righteousness. And what that means is you have to earn your way to God. You have to do all the good works in order for God to get you to salvation. Very powerfully, that's what he was doing. But it was when he was 35, 13 years later, that he had a very, very powerful awakening moment in which he had the revelation that he's not earning his way to God. There's no way you can earn your way to God. Everything that we have is given by God's grace in faith. For we have been saved by grace through faith, so that we can do good works in Jesus Christ. That comes from Ephesians. And this became a very, very powerful reality in Wesley's life. He began to preach this. And what he was preaching and the way he was preaching was not accepted. This was in April, when he had, at the age of 35, that awakening moment. By the time he had gotten from April to Christmas, just a few months later, he had been kicked out of and banned from all churches in the city of London except for five. How do you even do that? How is that even possible? Well, he did it. And what you realized, this began that time of perseverance for him, because what he began to realize was this is not as easy as it looks. And that movement began to grow, and that movement began to expand. But as those who were the followers of the movement, as the energies of the movement began to expand, so did the resistance. And Wesley began to preach in every church that he could, which wasn't many. And so when they wouldn't let him in the church, he would go preach outside. He would go into cemeteries, and he would stand on a tombstone and preach. And while he was preaching, local farmers would take their herds of cattle and run it right through in order to get them to stop. And he would go over to the city of Bristol into the coal mining areas, and he would preach in the open air to those workers that were coming off of their shift and those workers that were coming on. He would preach 7 days a week, sometimes up to three and four times a day, morning, noon, and night. Persistent, 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 and he would preach to thousands of people. Now, mind you, those thousands of people did not always agree with him. There were many of them who hated him. They did not think it was right for him to be out in the open air. They did not think it was right what he was preaching and how he was preaching it. And things began to turn ugly. It was not long afterwards that people started throwing things at him. Oh, it began with soft stuff like tomatoes. He had been repeatedly pelted with tomatoes. But then it became a little more deadly as people picked up rocks and started throwing, not just inside of his preaching, but even more when he was traveling to and from his preaching. That as he was on horseback, they estimate that over the next 50 years that he would put on over 250,000 miles just on horseback inside of London, back and forth, or rather England, back and forth, up into Scotland, over into Ireland, and through Wales. He put on all the miles, and while he was traveling, now it became even more dangerous as people started lobbing bricks at him. Well, this went on for years. It became normal for him. Perseverance was not something that was special. It was just what he did every day. But here was an amazing moment. He was riding his horse one day between preaching and realized that it had been three entire days since anybody had thrown anything at him. And he stopped his horse and he lifted his voice to heaven to say, "God, what's wrong? Have I been backsliding? Am I caught in sin?" And he stopped his horse, got off, knelt on one knee, and asked God to reveal to him, "Is there something that I'm doing wrong?" Well, it was at that point in time that one of the men who hated him happened to be going by, recognized him, picked up a brick, and lobbed it right at him. As it whizzed past his head, missing him, he lifted up his voice and said, "Thank you, God. I know that your presence is still with me." This issue of perseverance is so real. What's going on inside of your life? What is it that is really, really difficult? You know, it doesn't matter what age you are. There are some of our three-year-olds who are going through really, really tough things inside of their lives as they simply learn what it means to be a three-year-old. And if you are all the way up to 103, we still face all of the difficult things. This week, Izzy Karinen is facing a struggle for her life as she recovers from brain surgery. That's a huge, huge hurdle for her. What are the things that are going on in your life? And how does God fit into that? One of the pastors that I follow, that I love to follow, is Adam Hamilton. Adam Hamilton started a church down in Kansas City about 28 years ago. He started with six people. Four of them were his family. And they began to meet in a funeral home. And that's where the Church of the Resurrection was born. Today, that church is the largest United Methodist church in the nation. It has over 20,000 members, and that's not what is important. What is important is the witness that they have inside of our society and the guidance that they give inside of people's lives. What does it take to grow from six people to 20,000? The challenges are enormous. And the roadblocks, the hurdles that you are going to hit. There was a time that was so incredibly dark in his life and so overwhelming, he did not know which way to go. He did not know how to get through the hurdles. And so one night he went home to his wife, LaVon, and he said, "I think I'm done. I think I got to quit." And her answer changed his life. She said to him, "You can quit if you want. You can do that. But let me ask you, is God calling you to quit? Or are you just giving up? Is God calling you to quit? Or are you just giving up?" Hamilton began to explore much more deeply into Scripture, and one of the pieces of Scripture that became very, very real for him was what we heard James read is in the Gospel today. From Matthew chapter 5, from the Sermon on the Mount, the last verse inside of the Beatitudes, and it says, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Blessed are you when things get really tough. Blessed are you when people start throwing bricks at you. Blessed are you when all you've got left is perseverance." Faith is not easy. No one ever said that faith was going to be easy. No one ever said that life was going to be easy. And the fact of the matter is that when you are following Jesus Christ, a lot of times life gets more difficult. It's just that you have a deeper strength and a deeper base, a deeper foundation with which to handle it. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. When people speak about you and say things behind your back, blessed are you. And then he went on to say, remember, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. This is what is so crucial in perseverance. Americans are not good at thinking and having the concept of long time. All right, let me show you what I mean. If I were to ask you, can you tell me where are some of the oldest buildings in Spearfish? Well, the fact of the matter is, I'm standing on one right now. This is one of the few United Methodist churches that still worships in its original building. You can see the original glass that we had. This building that I'm standing in was first built in 1889. Now, we would look at that and say, wow, 130 years. Wow, that's a long time. Yeah, well, come with me to Germany. And let's go to a cathedral in Germany. Those cathedrals that were built in the year 500, 600, 700, 900. Do you know what it takes to build those cathedrals out of solid stone? First thing you have to do is get a digging crew together, and you have to dig a hole way down. The foundations to those cathedrals are as deep as the cathedral is high. How would you do that? It was all done by hand. How would you cut those stones? How would you move those stones? How would you place those stones? It was all done by hand, and there was a master architect that had the original plans, and as they went, they built and built and built. It took 400, 500 years, some even longer, to finish those cathedrals. If there are five generations inside of a century, about every 20 years, well, what that means is that you could have 25 to 30 generations just to finish that building. And they would look at ours and say, 1889, that's nothing. That was yesterday. Americans do not have a good concept of long time, of what it means to have perseverance, not just in our own lifetimes, but over the span of many lifetimes. And one of the things that this means is that in our fast-paced society, we have a big focus on results. Get it done, get it done, get it done. What are the numbers? Show me the numbers. How much was the profit this quarter? And we don't have the concept that said, no, breathe deep and focus on the long term. John Wesley focused on the long term as he brought faith into the lives of people and said, this is not just for today, it is not just for tomorrow, it is for your entire lifetime. We are called into faith. So I love the story. A man built a house. It was a beautiful cabin down by the creekside, and in his yard was a boulder, a large boulder. He didn't even think about trying to move it. He just built a house near it. One day, as he came out of his house, a voice that he could only think was the voice of God said to him, push the rock. Push the rock. Push the rock. And so he went over and began to push the rock. And of course, nothing happened. And as he stepped away, the voice said, no, push the rock. And so he pushed the rock all that day. Every time he tried to step away, the voice kept saying, push the rock. He got up the next morning, walked out his front door, and the voice said, push the rock. And the next day, and the next, and the next, and the next week, and the next month, and the next year. He had been pushing on that rock for over a year, when one day, finally, in exasperation, as nothing was happening, he quit pushing the rock and said, this is ridiculous. And the voice came to him and said, did you think you were going to move the rock? I didn't ask you to move the rock. I asked you to push on the rock. Look at your hands. Do you see the calluses? Look at your arms. Look at your legs. Do you see the muscles? I've been preparing you for what is to come next. Push the rock. Are you ready to give up? Is it because God is calling you to quit, or is it because you're just giving up? When we talk about perseverance in our faith, we talk about perseverance that lasts a lifetime. And more than a lifetime, it lasts for generations and centuries and eons. And so we heard the words as we spoke today from Isaiah, those words that say, you call this a fast? You call this worship? This isn't worship. What I want when you worship me is I want to see you make a difference in our world. I want to see you clothing those who need clothes. I want to see you feeding those who need food. I want to see you working for justice. I want to see you making a difference. Push the rock. And we hear those words from Proverbs that say, you must speak for those who have no voice. You must speak for those who need justice. You must speak for those who need to have the right in their lives. And this is the power of God. This is the presence of God. It's not just that we are working for ourselves. It's not our rock that we're pushing. It is the rock that says you and I are invited to continue. To constantly be continuing, what does it mean to push that rock? What does that mean to wait for God through an entire lifetime? Perseverance. 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 Early in her life, Mother Teresa heard the Word of God, and the Word of God for her said, go down to the poorest of the poor. And so she went down out of Europe into India, to Calcutta, and there she worked with the Sisters of Mercy. We know that name, Mother Teresa. But did you know that Mother Teresa never heard the Word of God again? After her passing, we were able to access some of her diaries, and one of the things that became very evident was the darkness and the depression that she went through because God had told her early in her life what to do, but then she didn't hear again. And all she could do was to continue doing what she was doing. Now, you and I would look at Mother Teresa's life and say, that was amazing. And Mother Teresa would look at her life and say, that was very difficult. And what she figured out was you just have to persevere. All right, my friends, are you ready to keep pushing the rock? Does God call you to quit? Or are you just giving up? This is the power of our faith. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. And this is what we are called to do. This week, may you continue to run the marathon, for we are not saved by our own works. We are saved by God's grace through faith, created to do good works in this world for Jesus Christ as a marathon. May it be that you run the marathon in Christ's name. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord of love and Lord of life, be with us as we run the marathon. Be with us day by day in the discouragement. Be with us day by day in the difficulty. Be with us day by day when it seems impossible. For it is you who gives us that ability, that inner strength. Lord, give